Welcome to Nocturnal Admissions, the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling, and on the phone I have AK1200. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. So you're going to be here in Vegas at Crown Nightclub, along with Craze, 12th Planet, Datsik, and more. So what's kind of your plan going to be for the night? Any tag teaming? Do you kind of have an idea of what you're going to go do for the evening?
No, not really. I mean, most everybody else is real well-known with dubstep, and right. I'm more known for drum and bass, so I'm going to play drum and bass and just annihilate Vegas. That's my plan.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't really have any set things. I'm just trying to acquire as many tunes as possible that I think will work, and I'll try to give the best show I can give.
So you did mention a little bit about the dubstep. So how do you kind of feel as somebody who's more into the drum and bass? How do you feel about dubstep? It seems like lately it's been kind of pushing D&B out of the spotlight in the past few years. And even some D&B artists like Diesel Boy are kind of making the switch. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, to each their own. For me, I could never walk away from drum and bass or even... I understand the significance of dubstep. The one thing that I'm like really happy to see is that finally a new form of music came along to sort of get kids excited again. And there's a whole, I see even where I live in Orlando, there's like a whole new like generation of kids that are going out, and they're not even really sure that it's dubstep or drumstep or whatever. They just call it bass music, and they're like super, super into it, and it kind of reminds me of when I first got started as a DJ, like that fresh, hunger for raw music. And so, I mean, in that aspect, I'm happy that it's there, because ultimately, it's all going to come back around, and, they'll eventually find drum and bass, and it all does its cycle, so I'm not worried about it. I think even a lot of dubstep people are tired of the traditional dubstep, and they're trying to venture out into more creative, sort of different roles.
Now, I'm from Florida originally, too. I left when I was 11, so obviously I wasn't involved in the scene. But how's the scene kind of going out there?
Things are actually really good right now. I do a night. It's the third Thursday of every month at this club called the Roxy. The last show we did over 1,000 people, so it's not bad. You wouldn't think that there's such a bad recession going on. You see clubs packing out so much like this, so I think things are picking up all over.
Crown is actually a pretty big venue, so have you heard any advance word on maybe how the turnout might be for this event? Because this is probably, as far as I can recall, one of the biggest like bass music events that I've seen out here.
No, I have no idea how it's going to be. I imagine it's going to do well. I think they're promoting it well. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of kids coming from L.A.
Cool.
So I think it's going to be one of those things that nobody really saw coming. And then it's just going to blow up. And it's probably going to, with a little help, create some momentum for the local scene there. And, take off just as it is everywhere else,
What do you kind of think about the evolution of drum and bass in the United States, and why did it maybe take us a while to catch up from the UK?
When you're talking about American-made drum and bass, there's the majority of it got a little bit off track, I think, and started to get too hard and too dark and too sort of boys club, serious, like moody, who can dark out the other and that kind of thing. I think it took away all of the essential elements that jungle first came from. And I think the reason why it's always been so good in the UK is pretty much because jump up was always there, and there was always tune appeal to women. And you can't have a good night or a good club or a good crowd without women, That's just, it is what it is. I think it's the one in one way where we not only caught up but have exceeded a lot of the other countries' expectations of us pertaining to production is there's a lot of liquid stuff being made from American artists that are really, really blowing up, like Random Movement and Sinistar, and got just loads of people who are you know, all over every label in England and stuff like that. So it's, there's certainly a lot to offer, you know. It's just, we got a little sidetracked with the dark stuff, but a lot of those people that were making that are now making dubstep or electro, so I think it's coming back to where it needs to be.
Now, when I first got involved in the scene in the late 90s, a lot of time I'd always hear about Jungle and Junglist, and a lot of those people would be at the parties, but I don't hear about that so much anymore. Why do you think that is? Has it just kind of died out, or has it evolved into different terms or genres?
Yeah, I think right now, I think for the last 2 years, anything associated with the name drum and bass has been sort of not blacklisted, but just not enthused, you know what I mean? So people sort of shy away from calling it anything that has to do with that. Ironically enough, the music itself has never been better, but once the media tags something as past tense or not in, then the promoters tend to follow that, and as long as the promoters aren't booking it, then none of the kids are talking about it, because there's not really much to do. And then you have all these little, you know, local weeklies or monthlies that are doing it for the love and the scene, and are barely scraping by, losing money every week or every month just to keep things going in hopes that it'll come back around, which fortunately it's starting to. So it's not necessarily that there's different subgenres or titles to call it. It is what it is. It's always going to be drum and bass or jungle or whatever style it's going to be. It still has that tempo. And now a big thing is drum step. So people are doing drum step nights, which is virtually dubstep, but halftime drum and bass tempo, mm-hmm. you know? I think what's funny is when you play some drum step tune in a dubstep crowd, they don't necessarily notice the difference, because right. the tempo isn't all that much different. And then another thing that's funny is when you see dubstep DJ playing, and then all of a sudden they go into a full-time drum and bass tune, the whole place lights up. Right. Like Rusko goes into drum and bass. Right? Almost all of them go into drum and bass, and the whole place goes crazy. So I think that's another symbol of where things are heading. The drum and bass people have fought long and hard, and we've sat back, and now it's just coming back around.
You mentioned blacklisting almost, and one thing a while back when I talked to Evil Intent, we kind of agreed that drum and bass and dubstep are kind of the redheaded stepchildren of electronic music. So what are your thoughts? Because you guys get pushed to side stages at festivals, and so what's kind of your thought on maybe what we might be able to hope for in 2011?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's always been that way. That's kind of why we started playing to the drums,
right.
which... You know, before that, we were really looked down upon. But through our career with Planet of the Drums, touring with that, we sort of demanded main stage, and we got it. And we, you know, we brought big crowds, and everything worked out. I think in a sense, drum and bass is always going to be a smaller part of electronic music as a whole,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to have its place, and it's going to have its fans, and it's just the numbers are the only difference, like how it fluctuates. I think 2011, 2012 are going to be similar to like 1997 and 98, when
cool.
things were really, really popular for drum and bass.
Mm-hmm. No, when I spoke with Diesel Boy, we were talking about Planet of the Drums a little bit, and you guys did reach the milestone 10 years for that tour. Do you plan
right.
on going on another full tour? I know you've got a couple of dates here and there, but might we see another full-on tour around the country?
I wouldn't say no, but I wouldn't say, oh yeah, we're planning on it next year. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think after we've done 10 years and we've consistently tried to one-up the previous year, we sort of ran out of things to bring to the table that would make much of a difference. And there's so much younger newer talents that probably deserve a bit more of the spotlight, that why should we cloud it up with us, you know what I mean?
Cool.
When we all have our individual careers as well.
Speaking a little bit more about your individual careers, I really enjoyed your track Sanctuary.
It, oh, thank you.
To me, it felt more like I had more levels and more soul than some of the DMB that I just keep hearing from these stages at the Massives. So
right.
Tell me a little bit more about that track and what went into it and if there was a certain goal you had.
Yeah, actually, the thing about it is I just started a new partnership with this guy, Bill Hamill, who is a really well-known progressive producer, and he's done a lot of commercial remixes for like Rihanna, Britney Spears, Seal, stuff like that. And we've always been friends, and we've decided to get together and combine our two sort of flavors, where he has that progressive vibe and I have the drum and bass background. So we're ultimately trying to make a progressive form of drum and bass that could potentially cross over and fit with a wider audience.
Right.
And that tune is just the beginning of it. We started a new label called Boombox Audio,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to start pushing stuff out through that. We already have four or five tunes that we just need to finish up, and we'll start releasing those. And, you know, hopefully this will add to the momentum.
Along with Boombox Audio, you also have your other label. So is there anything new coming out on that, too?
Well, Big Rhythm is a label that I have that I've... You know, I don't know what I'd do with that label. the thing about the label is it's just it's sort of a catalyst for new artists or existing artists who just want to add to their credentials and you know, and put out something. When I first started the label, I had this super hungry attitude toward it where I wanted to do one release a month, but then I realized that if I did that, I'd be helping the problem, which
right.
ultimately is the shelf life of music. And I'd rather just, you know, at this point now, I'd rather just take my time and put out stuff that is going to get a chance to have a longer shelf life and be played for, you know, at least a few months instead mm-hmm. of just a few weeks. Some of the stuff I have forthcoming is this guy exclusively, for the most part, exclusive, but he's from the Czech Republic. His name's Forbidden Society.
Cool.
And I've got two really good tunes from him. And the next one after that is two from a friend of mine, Zardonic, from South America, who I actually debuted him on my Weapons of Tomorrow CD in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, he's been blowing up on Damien's label, Human. And he's done a bunch of releases for various labels, but I've got him back for another release. I have something out currently right now from WPL, which is a guy from Italy, and they're sort of kind of liquidy tunes.
Okay.
There's no like specific flavor that I'm following. It's just whatever I think is cool and sounds good and would be a good thing for a DJ to play.
Nice.
I'll try to put it out.
Nice.
But yeah, the label's doing great. This other production thing is going great. Everything's moving accordingly, and as far as the scene and the DJ career, I've been more busy October, November, and December than I have the rest of the year. So definitely a testament to the scene picking up
mm-hmm.
and being more open arms for drum and bass.
Let's reach back into the memory a little bit. Let's talk okay. about porn. Specifically, you have a few tracks, titled with porn in the name, like Porn Star Feeder and Deep Porn. And I know
right.
it's been a while, but do you remember what the samples were from Deep Porn? That was like, what, 2000?
Yeah, you know what's funny is they weren't even samples. there was a company called Hardcore, CORPS. They did a little joint feature with a porn company. I think it was Vivid or somebody. They would get all these porn stars in the studio, have them record whatever vocal they wanted to record, and they would give those files to certain artists, like Kid Rock did one, Muggs from Cypress Hill did one, Liquid Todd did one, a bunch
okay.
of people did some. I ended up doing two. There was one called Come With Me, which featured a girl named Raylene,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the Deep Porn thing, It was ultimately called Porn Star Style, and that was this chick, Alicia Rio, or Alicia Del Rio, or something. She was a Latin porn star who basically, that entire song, we took, that was the entire vocal, and I was in England at the time, and one of my friends, Danny Brakes, we were working on this tune, and then we got the vocals FedEx to us, and we just basically dropped the vocal on top of the tune, and then there's a couple parts where she gets going, and we took the beats out, and we just edited it around her vocal, and boom, that was the tune. It came out on Moving Shadow, and became quite the popular novelty tune, and then got remixed or re-rubbed with a mashed up with another tune called Bottom Feeder, which became Porn Star Feeder.
Cool.
And that was with Gridlox.
Cool. I love stories like that. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
But well, one thing I would like to get out there, out here in Vegas, it's kind of been nice because, you know, the house scene's growing. More people are listening to dance music, which has been great. It's evolving and getting a lot away from the celebrity-focused events.
Right.
People are embracing, like, Dirty Dutch and even some of the trancier stuff. But what do you think maybe you could say to those clubbers who would be like, oh, I'm not going to a D&B show at all, that maybe don't know anything about it? What might you be able to say to convince them to at least check it out?
You know, that's a good question. I think ultimately what it is, they have to really see what these people who they are fans of are doing. If they're truly into certain artists or certain DJs and they looked into the history of those people, they'll see that drum and bass is a huge part of most everybody's life right now. Like
even Deadmau5 right now is delving into some dubstep. So is Little John. So
yeah, Deadmau5 is doing all kinds of drum and bass related things and dubstep related things, and people like really old classic people like Sasha.
Right.
There's Sasha's closing with a new remix of Expander that Future Bound did, which is a drum and bass mix. I'm playing tonight. I just got a Sigma remix of an Eric Prydz tune.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I play drum and bass remixes of Afrojack, and there's so many things that are crossover and work. I mean, it's all relative. When you have people that are having drum and bass mixes of their songs being put out, listen, if my advice to anybody, keep your mind open to all forms of music, because you never know what you're going to like. One day you can be listening to, you can think you're into something, and then all of a sudden your whole world changes because of a DJ, and you won't know it unless you open yourself up to it. That's how fan bases start. There's got to be something to it if there's people doing it. You know,
anything we should look for specifically from you coming up in the next few months?
For me personally, I think, like I said, the Boombox Audio project that I'm doing with Bill Hamill, there'll be AK1200 and Bill Hamill Presents, and he was actually in Vegas all week, so he was with Paul Oakenfold. So I think we're getting ready. As soon as I get back, we're going to start a remix for Paul Oakenfold, trying to bridge the gap, you know, between electronic commercial music and electronic underground music. And that's where I'll be, just doing that, trying to keep drum and bass alive.
Nice. And the best place for people to keep up with you and what you got going on?
The best thing to do is you can follow me at Twitter, twitter.com/AK1200, or you can go to my Facebook fan page, facebook.com/AK1200. There's a few other numbers, but you can get to my personal page from that and then go to my fan page from there.
Okay.
In addition to that, just keep your eyes out. You'll see me all over the place.
Okay, cool. Well, congratulations on everything, man, and have a great time in Vegas, and thanks again for chatting with me.
All right, thank you. You guys take care.
For up-to-date Las Vegas nightlife and dance music scene news, always be sure to check out LasVegasWeekly.com. We'll be right back.